flow goes on to score from Thomas Henry. Then it's stuck on you back in third.
This is the OTB Television Network, a service of Capital District Off-Track Betting.
Broadcasting live from the Capital OTB studios, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow.
They're in the gate. And they're off. New Eagle with a good start toward the outside. Slight bobble for Tiz de Law, but recovered just fine. South Bend is up close. Two Last Words on the outside. Silver Prospector in tight pulls back to be fifth. Into the clubhouse turn they go, and New Eagle is out there setting the pace. South Bend up close today, racing into second on the outside. Tiz de Law, the big favorite, is covered up inside while third. Two Last Words is racing fourth on the far outside. Then it's Silver Prospector running along in fifth. Fighting CB buried at the inside in sixth. A length back from there to Finnick the Fierce and Forcible, the last of them all. So down the back stretch they go. The leader at 84-1 is New Eagle. The opening quarter in 24 1/5 seconds. South Bend keeping that one company to the half-mile pole. Two Last Words is in the clear, racing third. Tiz de Law's covered up inside fourth, only two lengths to make up from there. Fighting CB's at the back of that first fight with Silver Prospector. Enforceable's near the back as well with Finnick the Fierce around the far turn. It's still New Eagle in front with 3 furlongs to go. South Bend, first run on the outside. Far outside is Two Last Words. Farther out than that is Silver Prospector. Tiz de Law set to strike but is bottled up in behind horses. Fifth with a quarter mile to go. They come for the top of the stretch. South Bend goes head to head with New Eagle off the turn. Tiz de Law, the heavy favorite, has nowhere to go. A narrow seam now. Silver Prospector got the jump outside. There's 1 furlong to go. Silver Prospector, here comes Tiz de Law. Clear sailing now, and he shoots on through. Switches leads there right outside the 16th. Silver Prospector still in front. Finnick the Fierce, final try. Tiz de Law has been beaten. Here's the wire. Silver Prospector got it. 3/4 of a length on the wire. Finnick the Fierce photos with Tiz de Law, who was a tough luck third.
Tiz de Law beaten yesterday in the Kentucky Jockey Club, running third behind Silver Prospector at 7-1, $17 and change the winner, and Finnick the Fierce at 87-1. Just a little stumble out of the gate and then got boxed in the whole way around. Jockey Manny Franco said there was just nowhere to go. He said the horse probably would have appreciated being outside a little bit more, but just couldn't get there. Now, it looked like around the turn, Manny had a lot of horse, and it was going to work out once the horse saw some daylight. But as you saw there, as they came into the stretch, there really was never any daylight. And this is a horse with only 2 starts, first time around 2 turns. There's a little opening. Sometimes they're reluctant to go through those. He eventually did go through, and it looked like he was going to get it done, and then just maybe went a little flat. But again, it was the first time around 2 turns, a difficult trip. I think if you were on the Tiz de Law bandwagon, you come away thinking maybe came away from this with some good education. It was unfortunate because he was maybe sitting on an Eclipse Award with a win in the Kentucky Jockey Club yesterday. But the third place finish, again, as they say, should benefit him education-wise. We'll talk a little bit more about that race later on. We'll be joined by Marty McGee, the Kentucky correspondent, for the Daily Racing Form. He'll be on in a while. Before that, we'll do some stakes reviews. We'll do a little handicapping, and we'll also hit you with some promos. First, who tuned in today to see how my voice would be? The voice, if you watched yesterday, came back from Thanksgiving out of town, and a little bit froggy on the voice. As the day went along yesterday, it got worse, but seems to be a little bit better today. We will plow through certainly this hour, and then we'll see about OTB Live this afternoon. Get through as much of that as we can. Do keep in mind, speaking of this afternoon, the what, 1.5 or 2 day storm is supposed to come in around lunchtime today. So if you have plans, maybe get your shopping or whatever done before lunchtime if you can, and hunker down. If you have plans that mean you're going to be out a little bit later on, drive carefully, because it does sound like it's going to get sloppy today and into really all day tomorrow through Tuesday morning as well. So keep that in mind. You saw the graphic just before we went on the air. The Clubhouse Racebook is a Toys for Tots drop-off site. Bring in an unwrapped toy, and you can drop it in the box right at our front door. We'd love to have you donate, and so all the kids out there can enjoy the Christmas holiday. So keep that in mind, the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue in Albany. Also, that's the location for Football Sundays. Come on down, watch all the football games, catch all the racing action as well every Sunday throughout the NFL season right here, 711 Central Avenue in Albany. All right, let's do some stakes reviews. And I will say, you may see me drinking a little water during the morning so I can keep hydrated here a little bit and try to keep the voice cooking along as we proceed. I will say, it sounds worse than it is because I feel fine. It's just whenever this hits me, it kind of gets in that voice box region, I guess. And I have a couple of days of, like I say, froggy tones like this. I'm not my melodious self. But as I say, we will plow through. And going to take a look at a little Aqueduct action, a little Del Mar action. And again, a little bit later on with Marty McGee, we'll hit on those two-year-old stakes down at Churchill, which were swept by Steve Asmussen and Ricardo Santana. As you saw, their Silver Prospector getting the jockey club, but they also won the Philly version yesterday, the Goldenrod. All right, let's go to Aqueduct. The Turf Sprint Championship. As I was doing OTB Live yesterday, I said, this is a race where four or five of them can jump up and win on a best effort. You just didn't know if you were going to get it. These are a little bit inconsistent, but Fully Vested had a couple triple-digit buyers on the page. Those are better than virtually anyone else in the field if he could get to those. I didn't see a number, but he fired one of his better efforts, and he made it look easy in here. Fully Vested is going to be the number five horse and win by a laughable seven-plus lengths. Did go off as the favorite, paid $5.10. Vici runs second, Lawn Twist third. Guido, who I had on top, I had Guido over Fully Vested. Guido, the number one horse, had the lead for a while, faded to be a little bit of a disappointing fourth and a well-beaten fourth as well. As you can see, again, Fully Vested under Jose Lascano, running away and hiding from this bunch. Chart margin again of seven lengths. But as I say, it was a field where you were using the crystal ball a little bit. Who's going to come out and run big? Now, Fully Vested last time did run that triple-digit buyer. You might have looked at that, jumped on board. I think the betting public did, making it the favorite. But did run third that day. So, again, there was, you know, little yin, little yang there. But it was Fully Vested yesterday in the Turf Sprint Championship down at Aqueduct. The Discovery, fun race because three-year-olds facing off this time of year, always a little bit interesting when they get in that last shot in their own division. And this was the return of Tax, who hadn't been seen since the seventh place finish in the Travers. Just before that, a nice winner of the Jim Dandy. But also Performer, who had won three starts out of who won three times out of four starts in the career for Shug, all three of them this year. So three for three in 2019. And it wound up to be a nice little battle between those two. They looked like the ones, and that's the way it turned out down the stretch. But Performer now 4-for-4 this year, 4-for-5 overall in the career. Went off as a second choice. Tax took the money, but Performer will not let Tax go by, and eventually a chart margin of 1.25 lengths again as the 2-to-1 second choice. Tax running second. Grump's Little Tots runs third in here. But this is a nice Performer going forward for Shug, the Phipps, and Claiborne. According to the follow-up articles, Performer will now get some time off. They won't look at the Pegasus or Dubai, those kind of things. He was more looking to springtime at Aqueduct and maybe the Carter, something like that for Performer. Tax, however, will head potentially to the Pegasus down at Gulfstream Park. So, and again, that was a decent little second against a good horse for Shug, and it was a good second off the layoff since the Traverse. So Tax, we'll see. These both have the potential to turn into nice four-year-olds as the calendar changes from 2019 to 2020. All right, Long Island yesterday at Aqueduct. I like CK Es Buena, and that's the way it played out at Aqueduct in the Long Island. The number one horse was the Foreign Invader from South America, but he'd been in North America. She had been in North America for a while. I always say these South American performers, I'm on a little bit of a wait-and-see attitude, but already a couple of wins, a couple of stakes wins since arriving up here, so had proven that. Laid off from January until October, showed up in the E.P. Taylor, tossed in an okay number, but was sixth that day behind Starship Jubilee. But just on the numbers and the performances so far, it looked like CK Es Buena would be the one to beat. I put that one on top. I had My Sister Nat right underneath, and it's a big run from Chad Brown's My Sister Nat, but it's a great ride from Joel Rosario coming up the rail. Look at him use the gap here to duck in, find some room. He's in the green there coming up the inside. That was a great ride. And he gets up, and on the outside, My Sister Nat running big, the number four horse, and will get up for second to complete the exacta there. Decorating at 27-1 runs third in that event. So again, nice performance for the Grand Motion Runner. Nice ride by Joel Rosario. Nice ride also Jose Ortiz for My Sister Nat. Got a big run, as I say, down the outside there, but the rail skimming ride for the winner was pretty clearly the difference in there. I was handed some buyer figures for couple of the stakes at Aqueduct. Performer comes up with a 102, solid triple-digit buyer at the end of his three-year-old season, and Fully Vested on the turf did break the triple-digit mark, a 103 in the turf sprint. So again, a couple of nice buyers there for both Performer and Fully Vested in the triple-digit area of things. All right, let's go over to Del Mar and the Jimmy Durante yesterday. And again, they were canceled on Thanksgiving Day at Del Mar, and they turned, because of wet weather, turned Friday into all dirt. So all the turf stakes that were going to be held Friday and Thursday were moved to combine with the stakes that were already scheduled on Saturday and Sunday. So it's a big turf weekend that continues today out at Del Mar. But the Jimmy Durante was for the two-year-old fillies at a mile. Alms looked interesting to me for Mike Stidham. 2-for-2 so far for Stidham and Godolphin. Maybe more importantly, Paco Lopez on board, who had a great day yesterday out there at Del Mar. Is Alms the number two horse as the second choice? Number 12 is Princess of Caroline, the sibling to Lady Eli for Chad Brown. You can see that one runs third in here. Makes an okay little late run. Beaten, about three lengths is Princess of Carolina. But Alms, again, 2-for-2 in a couple of sprints up at Belmont to start the career. I thought that one looked good on the stretch out. But was going to have to get by Princess of Carolina, who again had showed some ability in the career debut victory, sibling to Lady Eli, Chad Brown ships across country. That one only winds up third. In between those two, Laura's Light at 24-1. But again, I wouldn't knock Princess of Carolina off of that effort. Only his second career start, shipped across country. They took a shot, still an okay third behind what might be a very nice horse in Alms there. But again, both of those horses. And we'll see, Laura's Light, this was only the second start for her. Peter Miller had taken over the training duties, owned by Gary Barber. All three of those might turn out to be very nice three-year-old fillies on the grass next year or beyond. You know, it's one of those where you have talented three-year-olds on the male or the female side. You take your shot probably on the dirt at some point. So we'll see what they do with those. But Alms, Laura's Light, Princess of Caroline, all looking pretty good. Still being lightly raced, running 1-2-3 in the Jimmy Durante. Seabiscuit yesterday, nice field in here. It's a grade two event. Mile and a 16th. Alm was in here. Prince Earl for Phil D'Amato coming off a couple of triple digit buyers. But it will be Next Shares. Comes out of a well beaten performance in the Breeders' Cup Mile. But shows up yesterday to take the Seabiscuit by half a length. Next year's the number three horse, as you can see, holding off a late closing Sacred Life. Javier Castellano on board that one. Next year's went out for Richard Baltus. Sacred Life went out for Chad Brown. So Chad comes up with a third in the Durante and a second in the Seabiscuit. But next year's, again, coming out of, I would say, a disappointing performance behind Uni and God Stormy in the Breeders' Cup Mile. But did go off at 59-1 that day, so I don't think anybody was necessarily expecting a huge performance. Only one win, however, in seven starts this year, and really hadn't hit the board other than that, and that's going back to January. So what would we get for a payoff for next shares yesterday? $56.40. So if you like that one, and really, as I say, since we have to go back to January for the last win, it was tough to feel super confident about next shares. But if you jumped on board, you got paid. Congratulations on that one. And I should say, that played into a single ticket pulling down the pool, excuse me, yesterday at Del Mar in the Pick 6. So today, closing day, it is a mandatory pay. Boy, it's funny how that happens. Because Churchill, mandatory pay today too, but they got hit just a few days ago. Churchill is built up. Churchill's pick will be okay, though. They built up so that people will jump in and make that one okay. But Del Mar, having just been hit yesterday, we'll see how their pick six plays out on the mandatory closing day today. Finally, the Hollywood Derby yesterday out at Del Mar. Again, as the name indicates, three-year-olds on the turf. However, Chad Brown had Standard Deviation and Digital Age, and they wind up running Standard Deviation third, Digital Age fourth. It will be Mo Forza winning it. Mo Forza is the number one horse. Number five is Neptune's Storm, who a couple starts back was a winner of the Hill Prince at Belmont. And then, as I say, Standard Deviation, Digital Age. But again, Mo Forza, Paco Lopez on board. So again, Paco Lopez with, and we only looked at three of the stakes. There was another stake on the card as well. Paco won three of the four turf stakes yesterday at Del Mar. So that was kind of a story in and of itself. Great day for Paco Lopez shipping out to the West Coast. But Mo Forza, trained by Peter Miller. Peter Miller having a good meet out there at Del Mar. We've talked about him on OTB Live in the afternoons as being kind of red hot at Churchill at this meet. But he gets the stakes win in the Hollywood Derby with a fairly lightly raced three-year-old. Mo Forza Seven starts going into yesterday. Now eight starts, three wins overall, and winds up his three-year-old season with a win in the Twilight Derby, Breeders' Cup weekend, and then the Hollywood Derby. So took him a while to kind of break the maiden because he just did that three starts ago in start number six. But now three wins in the last three starts, including two nice little stakes. So Mo Forza, good player on the turf scene out in Southern California, you'd have to think, in the older division next year. All right, let's take a break. I will hydrate up and get the voice cooking again. We'll do a little handicap, and when we come back, as I noted earlier, we will be joined a little bit later by Marty McGee from the Daily Racing Forum. He covers Kentucky racing, so we'll talk those two-year-old stakes with Marty coming up in a few. But we'll do a little handicapping right after this. Stay tuned.
Wagering on horse racing just got a lot easier at Capital OTB with our newly designed state-of-the-art mobile wagering site. Everything you need is right here on one easy-to-navigate mobile platform. Set your favorite tracks, pick your horses, place your bets, all with a simple tap of the screen. Plus, you'll have access to Capital OTB TV for all our network programming. So log on to CapitalOTBBet.com and see just how easy wagering on horse racing can be.
County, an incredible destination to live, work, and play, with easy connections to more than a dozen cities from our vibrant modern airport. It's a short trip downtown to a hive of culture and amusement, from world-class shows at the newly renovated Times Union Center to reliving the past at the New York State Museum. From outdoor recreation to shopping to nightlife, Albany County has something for everyone. We'll see you soon.
Here's some exciting news from Capital OTB. Capital Off-Track Betting and the Rivers Casino have partnered to bring you the finest experience in wagering on all your favorite thoroughbred and harness tracks from right inside the casino. Our newest location is open daily and can be found at Vance Flix Barn, offering live tellers, self-serve betting terminals, racing information kiosks, and all the amenities you come to expect from Capital OTB. See you at the Rivers Casino in Schenectady.
Welcome back to Racing Across America. Seth Merrill here again. Apologies for the froggy voice, but we'll push through. And as I say, sounds worse than I feel. I feel fine. Just sounds kind of funky. But we'll take a little look at the pick five at Aqueduct starting in race five, the late pick five today. Pulled up. I haven't seen any scratches yet. It's 12:20 post time today at Aqueduct. That means the fifth race kicking off the late pick five. We'll go off at about 2:15 this afternoon. $14,000 conditional claimers. I have a 2, 8, 3, and 4 rally cap. Rally cap 4 to 5 on the morning line, and does look convincing if we get back to a best effort. These are the kind that are kind of handicapping puzzles. Claimed 2 starts back, moved into the new barn, showed the typical early speed, but faded badly last time. You know, and we're going back to May and June. So then the horse was claimed 2 back, and then claimed last time, claimed for 40, comes back off a long layoff for 14 in the Linda Rice barn. I have the horse on top, and yes, on a best effort, rally cap, clearly the one to beat. But there's some question marks. I mean, I wouldn't rely on that. This would not be my single in the pick five. Alternatives in here. Latin Love Bug tossed in a decent little effort last time at this level. Came over from Monmouth and had been going against cheaper at Monmouth, but ran well against this level last time. Ari's Naughty Luca has some decent positional early speed at this level last time. Finished 6th behind Latin Love Bug, but there are some numbers underneath that if we can get to. The race 3 back kind of stands out. If we get to that, that's a possibility. Desert Lights has some early speed, and again, some back numbers to get to. So it's kind of a tough race to start the sequence because there are question marks on all of them, including the horse that is clearly going to take the action. But I have it 2, 8, 3, and 4 in the fifth at Aqueduct. Race number 6 this afternoon, State Bred Maine Special, 2-year-old fillies going 6. I have it 6, 4, 7, and 9, Making Sense. If you listen to me enough, you know that I like Golden Sense as a sire of Win Early types. The dam produced a sibling called Making Out that was 3rd in the debut and then 1st in the second career start. So I think there's some Win Early breeding. Jeremiah Englehart can clearly have them ready for their debuts. So we'll go with Making Sense in here. Manny Petty in the second spot. Chad Brown trainee getting the career debut. Enough said there. This isn't necessarily one of Chad's. If it's Chad and Klarovich, I'm all over it in the debut. This is not that owner-trainer combination, but I still think horse is likely to be a contender in the career debut effort. And New York Supreme, by constitution, there's a little bit of Win Early breeding and almost lived up to that in the career debut, just missing for trainer Gary Contessa. And so of those with experience, that's the one that I'm kind of pulled towards. There are a couple others in here, Aubrey Tate and Dancing Kiki, that have had some starts so far and have fired numbers that are okay. The Tommy Proctor runner also, if you wanted a price, is maybe a little bit interesting, having a party. But for me, in the sixth, I'll go 6, 4, 7, and 9. Race number 7 at Aqueduct. Optional claimer, a mile and an eighth the distance. I have it 3, 8, 5, and 1 in the seventh. The number 3, Dupes Point. A little bit disappointing last time running fourth in a similar event, but a good third, two back in a similar event, in an allowance non-winners and one other than three back, a win. So I think 2 and 3 back is more what I'm keying on. I'm going to think this horse is better than what we saw last time, and I'll look for a rebound to a better effort. Dupes Point on top. Dane Barry in the second spot. Plenty of early speed, but like the top pick, I'm going to draw a line through the last race and look to get back to one of the better performances, because the speed and one of those better performances puts Dane Barry up in the mix. And then Turbulence in the third spot. Couple of big wins most recently, now in the barn of trainer Linda Rice, and the number 2 back, that was in March, but it was a 90, stacks up very well with this group. The comeback in November, still a good 83, but does now move into a non-winners of 2, other than sometimes that next condition, they need a start or two to kind of figure it out. We'll see, but this horse, only 3 starts and a couple of very impressive wins. Turbulence could be any kind. In the seventh at Aqueduct, 3, 8, 5, and 1. Race number 8 at Aqueduct is the Fall Highway, rescheduled from the canceled Thanksgiving Day, I believe. Annually has always been one of my favorite races, but I remember when the day when you'd see 138, 140 pounds. Not quite there, but 132 on Recruiting Ready in this day and age is certainly notable. I have it 7, 2, 5, and 3. The number 7 is Recruiting Ready. How will he handle the weight? Last start, nice win at 124, picks up 8. We'll see how he's affected by that, but I think Recruiting Ready is a bona fide stakes quality sprinter, and it's a guessing game with the weight, but I'm not sure that the 8 pounds will be enough to put the anchor out for him. I think Recruiting Ready is solid. Strike Power, boy, the start of his career was so promising, and he's tossed in some efforts this year that have kind of hinted that talent is still there, just not in the 2 starts up at Saratoga, the 2 most recent starts. So we'll see. But a rebound to a big effort put Strike Power in the thick of things. And Stan the Man, two triple-digit buyers in the last four starts, says this horse, on a best effort, can be a player as well. I think it's a fun race. I think it's a competitive field. But in the fall highway, I went 7-2, 5-3. And finally, in the ninth at Aqueduct, maiden 30 claimers going 6 furlongs. I have it 6, 7, 2, and 9. Number 6, Super 27. Okay, second two back in similar company. Tried the turf and a little bit better last time. It was a failed experiment. I think getting back to this level in the dirt put Super 27 right in the mix. Speed Talks, the nice number fire two back, is solid with this group. Now, that was at Laurel. It was against a little bit lesser. But I think overall, the New York starts have been against a little bit better. And that Bullet Workout, said Speed Talks, the Bullet Workout just a few days ago, says Speed Talks should be live. Anula in the third spot. I think the Jimmy Jerkins horse, we'll see. 5-1 on the morning line. And with the class relief, maybe we'll get that. Some equipment changes as well. But I'm wondering if that career debut doesn't darken the horse's form a little bit, and maybe we come up a couple of ticks. And I think if we come up a couple of ticks, this horse becomes even more interesting, because I won't be surprised if we do see some improvement in start number two for Anula. So in the ninth, 6, 7, 2, and 9. There's a little look at the late pick five today at Aqueduct as we kick off December 1st already, I believe it. So some ideas on that late pick five today. I'm going to take another break. We'll come back, just do a quick segment, just kind of previewing what's coming up today out at Del Mar, because there are three nice turf stakes. And then a few minutes down the road, we will make contact with Marty McGee from the Daily Racing Forum, covers Churchill Downs. We'll get his thoughts on the 2 2-year-old stakes yesterday. All of that when Racing Across America continues. Stay tuned.
Where's the best place to find your favorite teams, your favorite food, daily drink specials, and wagering on live horse racing? Legends Field Sports Bar, 711 Central Avenue, Albany. Get your game on day or night with 75 flat-screen TVs, tournament-style pool tables, a private banquet room, and live horse racing. So if someone asks you where's the best sports bar in the capital region, tell them Legends Field Sports Bar, inside the clubhouse racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
Come on.
I want sales reports on my desk by Monday.
Whoops. My bad.
Love racing? RTN brings you every live simulcast on your home television, plus live video streaming and race replays on your PC and mobile devices. To order, visit RTN.tv. RTN, a breed apart.
Here in upstate New York, no one provides bettors with more wagering options than Capital OTB. Our network of branch and easy bet locations stretches from the mid-Hudson Valley all the way to the Canadian border and west to central New York. So whether you need to place a bet, fund your Capital Bets account, or watch the next big race, all the action is just around the corner. A full list of our branch and easy bet locations can be found online at CapitalOTB.com. Capital OTB, the better and most convenient choice for wagering in upstate New York.
Welcome back to Racing Across America. Again, just a quick little preview of some of the stakes action coming up today out at Del Mar. And again, they moved some of the stakes from Thursday and Friday. Thursday was canceled out there due to wet weather, and they went with an all-dirt card on Friday. So again, they had some turf stakes scheduled. It was a kind of a turf festival weekend, I believe, but they moved the Thursday and Friday stakes to Saturday and Sunday, where they already had some nice stakes, but it just makes for another nice day today after a good turf stakes day yesterday. The Cecil B. DeMille, they had the 2-year-old fillies yesterday on the grass. The Cecil B. DeMille is the 2-year-old boys on the grass at a mile. Field of 13 set to take a shot in here. Smooth like straight off the nice 80 buyer last time for Mike McCarthy. 12-1 on the morning line, I think primarily because three starts in maiden special company and now steps up to stakes company. But I think off that number last time, this horse is going to fit. Doug O'Neill for Redham Racing has four left, who has plenty of experience. Also 12-1 on the morning line. That looks generous to me. I have a feeling four left will come down. Neil Drysdale has a horse coming in from Europe for Team Valor, last opportunity at 15-1. I'm going to be interested to see where the odds go here. And after the big day yesterday, Paco Lopez on board for, again, the Peter Miller barn, who is going very well out of Del Mar. Paco Lopez on Go Time, who is a career debut winner down at Gulfstream in a maiden 50, but now moves out to Southern California in the Peter Miller barn. And again, more importantly, picks up Paco Lopez, who seems to be having a pretty good weekend, 20-1 on the morning line. I'm looking to see who the favorite is in here. A couple of 5-1s. There's a 9-2, 7-2, Goliad. I suppose, yeah, that's the morning line favorite, Goliad, or Goliad for Richard Mandela, of a career debut win, and then a follow-up and an optional claim or a second-place finish. I am questioning if the morning line will hold up in this race. I think some of those horses I talked about at double-digit odds will take more action than that in the DeMille, which is race three at Del Mar today. Hollywood Turf Cup, grade two event, $200,000, mile and a half, 10 entered in the Hollywood Turf Cup, and Zestful probably makes the pace. United for Richard Mandela comes out of a second-place finish in the Breeders' Cup turf behind Bricks and Mortar, and because of that is the 5-2 morning line favorite. I would think deservedly so off of that try behind Bricks and Mortar. You get headed by Bricks and Mortar. Although Bricks and Mortar tends to win by just enough, but you run a good second to Bricks and Mortar, so United will certainly take some action for Richard Mandela. I'm just looking to see if John Velasquez, Oscar Dominguez for Richard Baltus. I'm just looking to see if Paco Lopez has a no ride for Paco in this one. But United will be interesting to see what that one can do. And maybe flatter, if he needs flattering, maybe flatter Bricks and Mortar. And finally, on the card today at Del Mar, the Matriarch. We talked about the Kentucky Jockey Club yesterday having eclipse implications for Tis the Law. Didn't work out for Tis the Law. The Matriarch also with eclipse implications for Got Stormy. But whereas I think if Tis the Law won yesterday, I think a lot of people would have tilted in his corner. If Got Stormy wins this afternoon, she just kind of, not necessarily throws her hat in the ring, she just gives herself an extra bit of punch on the resume. But it's no sure thing, because it's going to be a battle between Got Stormy and Uni. But Got Stormy, only one grade one win on the resume this year. Uni has two, including that Breeders' Cup mile last time where Uni won, Got Stormy ran second. But Got Stormy with that great week up at Saratoga where she won the Della Rose and then came back a week later and beat the boys in the grade one four-star Dave. Subsequently, a close-up second in the Woodbine Mile, close-up second in the Breeders' Cup Mile. As I say, she puts another little check mark on the resume for a possible eclipse if she gets it done this afternoon in the Matriarch, where there is a field of 11 entered in here, and a nice little field of 11 as well, but all the attention will be towards, you would have to think, Got Stormy in that Del Mar seventh today. Seventh race this afternoon will be the Matriarch. Again, three nice turf stakes this afternoon at Del Mar as they continue with their turf action. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we will talk with Marty McGee, Kentucky correspondent for the Daily Racing Forum, talk a little bit about the two-year-old stakes yesterday at Churchill Downs. All of that right after this. Stay tuned.
Wagering on horse racing just got a lot easier at Capital OTB with our newly designed state-of-the-art mobile wagering site. Everything you need is right here on one easy-to-navigate mobile platform. Set your favorite tracks, pick your horses, place your bets, all with a simple tap of the screen. Plus, you'll have access to Capital OTB TV for all our network programming. So log on to CapitalOTBBet.com and see just how easy wagering on horse racing can be. No matter where in the world you are, the excitement of wagering on horse racing is just a click away. You'll get live streaming, past performances, race replays, our virtual tote board, analysis and selections from professional handicappers, a simple, safe, and secure wagering platform, and best of all, you get track prices. CapitalOTBBet.com. Bet any place, anytime at CapitalOTBBet.com. And be sure to download our new mobile app from the iTunes Store or Google Play.
Bridgestone is an outside threat. They're coming down to the finish. Can Smarty Jones hold on? Here comes Bridgestone. Bridgestone surges past. Bridgestone wins the Belmont Stakes.
Here comes High Chaparral. High Chaparral, the defending champ, to take it to Papa. These two are travels head-to-head with Joe Hart bearing down on them. It's going to be a three-horse photo finish in the turn. Here's the wire. Photo finish.
Welcome back. Happy to be joined now by Marty McGee, Daily Racing Forum's Kentucky correspondent. Marty, good morning.
Hey, Seth. How are you this morning?
Very good. Happy to have you on board. And just before we get into yesterday's, just give us a little update for folks who are playing closing day, playing mandatories or whatever. What's your weather look like down there today? Boy, it's been a rough couple of weeks down at Louisville.
Yeah, we've had some off-the-turf days. They had the foresight to not schedule any grass for today, so we've got a 12-race finale. There's no stakes, but there are a couple of allowances. The single six must go, as must all pools. It starts today with about $61,000 or so, which I would imagine will attract maybe $200,000-$400,000, something like that. But it's been an eventful meet, big week here, and started Turfway on Wednesday night.
Let's talk a little bit about the closing stakes. Yesterday, two-year-olds, boys and girls side, Kentucky Jockey Club. Up here, we were rooting for Tiz the Law. We saw him win the debut up at Saratoga, and certainly we're familiar with Jack Knowlton, the Sacatoga, and Barclay. The follow-up down in the Champagne put him in the thick of things in the Eclipse conversation. We showed the entire race at the top of the show. We're just going to watch the stretch run now, but I'd love your thoughts. It seemed to me like Manny said afterwards he got boxed in, had nowhere to go. I was waiting for the daylight to come. I don't know whether there was ever any legitimate daylight. And I think being a young horse, first time around two turns, maybe a little reluctant to go through. When he did go through, it looked like he may blast right through, but wound up just getting a little flat. I said, though, if you were on the bandwagon before, I wouldn't jump off necessarily. I think he comes away with a good education at the very least.
I agree with everything you said, Seth. You know, he did expend quite a bit of energy when he was wanting to go from maybe the 7-furlong pole all the way over the quarter pole. And I talked to Manny right after the race, right after he got off the colt, and he said, I was trying to get out. He was cognizant of getting out. It was the first thing Barclay said to him when he came back to Manny, you know, why didn't you get out? And he said, well, I couldn't. And he did have a chance to run at the top of the lane after they straightened away with maybe 3/16 to run. If he was a super horse, he would have gone on a deal.
Yeah.
But I really think that the toll was taken in terms of how he had to, you know, his ears were pricked the whole way. He was just dying to run, and he never could. They had that long shot leader in front of him. And I agree with you in terms of the bandwagon. Don't get off this horse yet. I think that Barclay, once he sits down and really thinks about it, this horse is going to, he might really blossom and show much more when we get down to Florida this winter.
Yeah, as I say, I thought it was a good education. It was a kind of a rough trip. He eventually did go through the little opening there, first time around two turns and whatnot. But let's shift our attention to the winner, Silver Prospector. Nice day for Steve Asmussen and Ricardo Santana. Came out of a third in the Street Sense last time in his fifth career start. So this was the sixth start for this one. You know, in this day and age, nice little campaign of six starts and a win over the track. albeit a sloppy Churchill Downs, but that has to have them looking forward to next year with Silver Prospector.
Yeah, Steve's done a great job with this horse. I mean, he's had a lot of confidence in him. He ran him in a stake at Kentucky Downs as a maiden. Then he came back and won at Keeneland, and then 2 weeks later ran a big third in the street sense. You don't see him run as often usually as this colt has, but Steve was pleased as punch yesterday, winning. He actually swept both of the two-year-old stakes here yesterday. So, you know, there had been some question whether or not this colt could get the distance, and he proved it yesterday that the buyers didn't come back that good, Seth. 81 for Kentucky Jockey Club and just an 80 on the Goldenrod. But, you know, these two-year-olds, they all have room for improvement.
And I just want to toss in, Silver Prospector wins, Tis the Law third. Finnick the Fierce, they bookended that one in second at 87-1, coming off a win in the career debut and a fourth place finish last time and an optional claimer, non-winner of one. So we just have to tip our cap to the connections there, getting it done at 87-1 to complete the exacta.
Yeah, you had to hit the all button, I think, to hit the triangle super in that one. So you had to kind of manipulate your ticket. Yeah, maybe I like to do it that way. I didn't have the foresight to do it yesterday. Use the favorite in third or fourth or second or whatever, and sprinkle in it. You know, use some logicals on top, like the winner was, and then hit the all button around it. So that's about the only way you could have gotten there yesterday, I think.
All right, let's go back to the Goldenrod. The 2-year-old fillies in that one, and again, it was Steve Asmussen and Ricardo Santana. This one, however, a lot more logical. Finite coming out of a couple of nice wins leading into this, breaking the maiden on the turf at Kentucky Downs, and then on the dirt in a stakes race last time, the Rags to Riches right here at Churchill. Finite goes off as the short favorite, pays $3.60, the number one horse. Motu, the number eight, second, and Lady Glamour, the number five, third. But again, no surprise here for the Asmussen Winchell Ricardo Santana runner as they sweep the two-year-old stakes. But they have a nice little prospect next year for the Kentucky Oaks.
They sure do. And Steve had a little inspiration before the race. They were putting Untappable up there on the video board, and Steve actually stopped to watch. And he said afterward that he was, he really felt pumped up about it. The filly got a great ride from Ricardo Santana and really needed it to trip out the way she did. So she beat a real game filly named Motu about maybe half a length or so. So, Steve's leaving here after today for New Orleans and Oaklawn, and he's going to be happy when he does it because he's, as usual, he's had a great meet here at Churchill.
And let's, talk a little bit about the rest of the day, because again, it was all 2-year-olds, and I just wonder if there was any performances that stood out to you. I was in doing the afternoon handicapping show yesterday. I thought Cherie Duvall with a couple of I believe both were second time starters, Veruca and Byroness, both looked good, but the one that kind of jumped out to me was Art Collector, who now I want to see if Art Collector can do it on a dry track, but started the career on the turf and looked pretty good. Went to the dirt last time and threw in a clunker, but yesterday on the sloppy track, I thought Art Collector was really impressive for Joe Sharp.
Yeah, I think he got the biggest buyer on the day, Seth. He got an 86.
Okay.
Winning that day other than going three quarters. And actually, Joe Sharp won back-to-back races. He won with a maiden named Blackberry Wine, came right back 30 minutes later, and Art Collector won for Bruce Lunsford. So he'll also go to Fairgrounds with a smile on his face. Joe's had another terrific year. And then also, Brett Calhoun, his father-in-law, had a ran 1-2 later in a maiden race with a Golden Sense colt named Mailman Money over Digital. He was 1-2 and everybody else was far back. So that was a very notable race, I thought, for Brett Calhoun.
Yeah, it's certainly a day that produced some performances worth watching going forward. As I say, some of that may have been added by the track. We'll know better when we get another start under the belt for some of these. Let's just talk a little bit overall. You've kind of alluded to it, the meet in general. I pulled up stats yesterday from Equibase on the jockey side. He seems to be the latter-day Pat Day. The go-to guy at Churchill now seems to be Corey Lannery. But Tyler Caffleone right in the mix. And on the trainer side, Steve Asmussen and Brad Cox. But I'll toss in a guy, didn't have as many starters, but had a pretty good meet. Southern California based, but has a Churchill string. Peter Miller had a pretty good meet.
Oh, yeah, he did. He like a number of other California guys, are, you know, they're kind of migrating away from all the problems they're having out there. And I think Doug O'Neill and Phil D'Amato and several of them are going to have strength at Oaklawn Park. They came here, their first foray this way was to Keeneland in the spring. And Peter Miller went something like, I don't know, 6-for-12 at the end of the spring meet. And then he opened up back up here at the fall meet with a good percentage too. So I think this is a thing to come, Seth, is to really pay attention to some of these California guys and the horses they send here to Kentucky and other Midwest tracks.
Jockeys as well. I mean, Martin Garcia rode a couple of weeks, but now Joe Talamo has said that's going to be in his rotation now.
Yeah, Joe, he's married to my niece, Joe Talamo is, so he was asking me about agents and everything, and we've hooked him up with Dale Roman's son, Jake. So Jake's going to take his book in January at Oaklawn. Joe came here and rode on Friday, and he too, you know, it's just there's not enough mouths to go around out there in California, yeah. And besides the, you know, the purses are stagnating or getting lower there. Meanwhile, Oaklawn and Churchill and some of these other tracks, they're going through the roof. So they say, why not?
Yeah, there was the article, Talamo and his agent, about a week ago in the Racing Form, where they kind of went over the number of mounts they had going back 5 years as compared to, it seemed like it was almost half as many. It's just, you know, that's part of the business out there in Southern California, but it makes sense that some of these guys are kind of moving. I read one of your articles, speaking of the Racing Form and looking up stuff, Asmussen having a string at Turfway. Talk a little bit about Turfway and what's up next for them with their meet kicking over. Churchill Downs kind of taking over at Turfway. Looks like the purses are going to bounce up a little bit. And those purses this fall at Churchill, there were a couple of races. You know, there were a couple of conditions where, you know, they were at $100,000 in some of those races. So it bodes well, I think, for Turfway this winter.
Absolutely. They've essentially doubled the purses for allowance races and maiden specials. Now, a lot of those are restricted to Kentucky breds, but, of course, we have the vast majority of the horses that do race here on this circuit are Kentucky bred. So there's a lot of optimism now. Turfway, as we all know, has really been down over the last 6 or 8 years. And this is going to be a shot in the arm. It's Churchill Downs Incorporated's way of getting their foot in the door casino-wise, actually, up in that northern Kentucky region. But in the meantime, the racing product is going to be vastly improved, and you'll notice that in the next 4 months as they race there at Turfway in Florence, Kentucky.
Yeah, people should be aware of that this season. If it's not a circuit, if it's not a venue they looked at normally, it may change up this winter. And Marty, before we let you go, Derby future this weekend, you have a sneaky one. I will admit, this early one, I can't pull the trigger. It's too early for me. But I'm wondering if you do, and if you do, if you have a sneaky thought in the Derby future this weekend.
Well, you know, I've written about it ever since they started in 99 for the DRF, and I normally don't play, but this year I hit a lick last couple days, so I said I'll dive in. So I'm taking, just knowing that the field tends to really do well, I took exactives over about 5 or 6 horses. My biggest punch was over Anno Dor, that horse trained by Blaine Wright, who barely got beat in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile.
Sure.
So I took a 24-2. And then I took 24 over Gouverneur Morris and three or four others, just trying to catch something. You know, I remember writing about it when I think it was the first or second year they had this pool as far back as November, which they just started that 6 or 7 years ago. And the only horse left from the Pool One field was Right on Curlin, the year he ran 7th or 8th in the Derby. So if you had the field over him, you hit the ticket. So it's a matter of you know, endurance, just lasting, just getting there into the field in a lot of cases. So that's what I'm trying to do here.
Well, now you may maybe pulled me in. Maybe I'll have to play around a little bit myself. Because I said, Blaine Wright, is good friends with our buddy Tony Kalov, the announcer up at Finger Lakes. He was a regular on the show for a while during the our weekday shows. And I texted Tony right after the race and said, that's a good-looking two-year-old they have there. So I may have to take a little look at that myself.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a fan. I've got a real good friend named Steve Peary, and he highly recommends the character of Blaine Wright. So, yeah, I like pulling for guys like that.
All right, very good. Marty, again, appreciate the visit. And what's next for you? Do you go on to Turfway, or you head down to Fairgrounds? What's up next for you?
I've been covering Gulfstream since 1996.
Okay.
Down there and help Mike Welsh. So I'll leave the day after Christmas here in Kentucky and be down there till late March and make the trips over to Tampa for both the Sam Davis and the Tampa Bay Derby. I'll do that for be over there in Tampa for 4 or 5 days. I really enjoy that part of it. And otherwise, hang around Palmettos and Gulfstream for 3 months.
Yeah, well, we'll probably see you down there. We usually make our trip down for some remote broadcast Pegasus and Florida Derby, so maybe we'll run into you then. Certainly wish you good travels and happy holidays. And, Marty, appreciate the visit. We'll talk again.
Thanks so much for having me, Seth. Thank you.
Marty McGee, the Kentucky correspondent for the Daily Racing Forum, and shifting towards Florida now that Churchill is wrapping up. But again, a couple of nice two-year-old stakes yesterday. But also, do note, go back and look at the results yesterday, because that was a two-year-old card that will produce some runners that will be worth watching next year as three-year-olds. And don't forget, I haven't mentioned it, forgot about it yesterday, and didn't mention it earlier, but I had my notes for Marty. The first Derby future pool is today. It winds up today. It was this weekend. But it ends at, I believe, 6 o'clock today. If you want to take a look, and maybe, like Marty said, play around a little field exactas over and under, pick a few horses and play around. For me, this pool is usually a little too early, but I may jump in and play a few of those exactas. But do keep in mind that Derby future pool number one is this weekend and ends today. All right, I'm going to wind things up, hydrate a little bit. I'll be back in about an hour or so. Maybe we'll do an abbreviated OTB Live. We'll see how the voice holds up this afternoon. Thanks for putting up with it this morning. As I say, I feel fine. The voice just sounds a little funny, so don't think, man, he's in there fighting some kind of illness and should be home in bed. I feel perfectly fine. It just does not sounds very froggy. And as I say, we may abbreviate OTB Live a little bit this afternoon because it's probably on the verge of not pleasant either to listen to. But we'll hydrate up in the next hour or so and see if we can plug through a couple hours this afternoon and at least get you started on some of the action on this Sunday. Racing Across America wraps up. Don't forget, NFL Sundays here at the Clubhouse Racebook. Watch all the football action, all the racing action every Sunday during the NFL season here at the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue in Albany. 3% bonus continues today at Churchill Downs, closing day. There are some restrictions. Check the website for more information. And again, a reminder, we are a Toys for Tots drop-off, so you have a little more time to come down and drop off a new unwrapped toy into our box right out by our front door and help make some kids happy on Christmas Day. That's what it's all about. That happens right here at the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue in Albany. All right, thanks again for joining us here on Racing Across America on this Sunday morning. Post time at Aqueduct today, 12:20. So I'll jump back in maybe about an hour or so for OTB Live on this Sunday afternoon. We'll see you then.
You're watching OTB TV, a service of Capital Off-Track Betting.